I told you, what if I told you that God, who is a spirit, God, the word declares, is love, God is light, God, who created everything, wants his creation restored back to the beginning when he first created it. He wants it completely restored back to the beauty he created it to become, to be, and what he wanted it to become. Because he gave man dominion on this earth, and he wanted man to take the garden and just continue to let it develop over the earth. Expand the garden. And man was created as closely to God himself that he could make him. He made him a spirit, dominated human spirit, with understanding beyond our, you know, they say we aren't even using a fraction of our ability to think, our brain. But if you really explore the human spirit, which is a very neglected subject, we've got even more capacity than that. Because with the design of computers, we understand that you can put a lot of information on a tiny little, tiny, tiny, tiny little dot. Mm-hmm. So imagine what capacity the human spirit has. Huge capacity. In fact, we have so much capacity in our human spirit that God himself can live in you. How big is God? He's an eternal God. So God lives in the believer. And the best kept secret from the church is that you've got access to God 24/7. You've got access to the very throne of God 24/7. You have a creator who wants to give you everything. He wants to restore everything back to the way it was. And he's got a body on this earth that he's working through. See, we think God is still here on the earth working. No, he isn't. He's not still working here as he was as a man. When Jesus came, he came as a man. But when he was crucified and died, he died so that he could have a body. He died so that you and I could be born again, and then our spirit man could be awakened to be able to be filled with him, his spirit. He told Philip, he said, it's expedient that I go away. If I do not go away, I cannot send the comforter back to you. You mean there's something God can't do? Jesus said it. He said, I can't send him back. You mean I thought you can do anything, God? We just got this idea that God can do anything. No, he can't. He said, if I don't go away, I cannot send the comforter back to you. It's very important that I go away, Philip. If I don't go away, if I don't go by the way of the cross, if I do not allow them to crucify me, if I don't allow the sins of the world to be laid on me, if I don't get the sin out of the way, if I don't remove spiritual death out of the human race's way, you'll never know God through your human spirit. Because God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And you'll never know the word of God and the power of the word and the reality of the word in your human spirit. Because Jesus said these words. He said, the words that I speak, they're spirit words and they're life because they're just like God. God's word is equal to him. He is God. So anything God says, it's him. If he was to walk in this room and say, that wall is green, I promise you, because he's God, the wall would turn green instantly. When he said, let there be light, light was instantly. Because God is everything he is. He said to Moses, who said, I am sent you. Because he is I am. He's the great I am. I'm your dinner. I'm your supper. I'm your paycheck. I'm your clothes on your back. I'm everything you'll ever need. I am. Whatever, you just fill in the blank. I'm it. Isn't that wonderful? But you can't know God through your intellect. You can't know God through your head. You can't know him through your five physical senses. You can't put him on a laboratory table and dissect him. You can't dissect a spirit. You can't even see a human spirit. But you're a spirit. And you possess a soul. And you live in an earth suit. And you have activity going on through your body through the five physical senses. Your body's created to be a machine. So you and I can have, you know, access to other human beings. Very complex. But it's even more complex when you start delving into the realm of the spirit. You start walking and looking into that realm. Now, when I accepted Jesus at the age of 22, I had a major encounter with God. And you all know the story. You may not know, but I had a major encounter with God. He appeared to me in my living room. I mean, I'm seeing Jesus just like I'm looking at you. I'm in hot pants, halter tops probably, because that's all I lived in. Probably, you know, smoking a big doobie. Jesus just appears to me. Called me out of darkness. Probably for my kids more than anything. For my children's lives would have been a disaster. The rate I was going at the age of 22. Drinking a quart of whiskey a day. Who does that? I guess some people do, but I can't imagine. I wouldn't have lived very long like that, you know. Smoking 3 packs of cigarettes a day, smoking a quart of whiskey a day, smoking pot every day. But you know, you're young and you don't really know much about life. Jesus really had a real encounter with God, and he made me realize you're a spirit. You just got born again. Walking through my living room, I started really seeking God. I mean, majorly seeking God. Didn't even know where to go to church. Didn't even know where to go to church. You know, I found out you can go to church 7 days a week if you want to go to church. I mean, there's a church on every corner, seemed like. You can go to a Catholic church, a Methodist church, a Church of Christ, Seventh-day Adventist on Saturday. I mean, there's just churches everywhere. But I mean, they kind of thought I was a little nutty, but they didn't really understand what had happened to me. A lot of them didn't. And it took a while to find people I could really fellowship on the level that I really needed to. But you know, I was walking through my living room one day, not long after my encounter with God, and my entire spirit, the real me, raised up out of my body. And I'm standing on my shoulders, looking out into this vast black realm around me. There was no light. It was total blackness. I look down. I'm standing. I promise you, I'm standing on my shoulders, looking down at my body. And I see my couch, my chair, my living room. I see my whole entire living room down below me. I'm about the level of I would be. I'm about 5'5" and a half. So the level I would be, I'm up in there area looking around. And as I looked out, I see this huge black vast of blackness. So I have a very keen sense of being a spirit because of that encounter with God, that experience. You have an experience like that, you never forget it because it's very spiritual. So I see off into the distance something else that never left me and never will leave me. I see off in the distance this little speck of bright light coming my way. And as it got closer and closer and closer, it got bigger and bigger and bigger, and I realized there's something heading this way. And it was a fiery dart, the shape of a huge dart. It was probably the size of three of these chairs here. And it was very thinly, finely darted at the point, and it was white hot like a poker turns, and it was real brilliantly orange red, and it's rippling through space heading toward me. Its target is me. And the minute it got up so close, I go back into my body. I'm just telling you, it happened to me. It really happened to me, and I never did forget it. And then I started reading the Bible. Believe me, I'm reading the Bible. I'm devouring the Bible. I used to use the Bible for rolling papers when I ran out of rolling papers. That's how bad I was. I mean, I had no concept of God. I wasn't a Christian. I wasn't raised in a Christian home. But when this all started opening up to me and God began to speak to me and reveal things to me, I started reading the Bible. And I found where it says in Ephesians that we are to put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God. And most folks don't do that. I did it. I put on the whole armor of God because he says, because the devil is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He wants to kill and steal and destroy you. So anyway, I don't like to even talk about him. I don't like to give him any credit. I don't want to give him any glory. But I like to talk about how wonderful God is. I like to talk about how great God is, how powerful God is, how powerful his word is in a believer who will believe his word. Now, the number one thing the devil will do is he will try his very, very, very best to keep you from hearing the word. But if it can't keep you from hearing the word of God, I'm talking the word that God spoke, the word, revelation word. If he can't keep you from hearing a rhema word, let's put it that way, you could preach word all day long and it just be dead word. But when God starts igniting his word and anointing his word through a minister or somebody he's anointed, somebody who's speaking it out of their own spirit. See, you can speak the word out of your head and it's just dead, it's all get out. But when you start speaking it out of your spirit, you give it life. So if you start hearing a word, you start hearing the word of God, is something's going to happen inside you because its target is your spirit. Because spirit connects to spirit. The word of God is spirit. It's because God's spirit. And his words are just like him. And so when God starts speaking to you, he's not speaking to your head, even though your head will hear it. He's speaking to your heart. And the truth and the fact is this, that you can know things in your heart that you haven't registered yet in your head. When you start hearing the word of the gospel, the word of the kingdom of God, and it gets inside you, it may take a while for it to germinate. It's very similar to being a farmer. I come from a big line of farmers. I used to raise huge farm gardens myself. And there's one thing about gardening. You got to be faithful. And you got to be patient. And you got to have trust that when you plant that seed, it will come up. But if you go out and start digging up the seed every day and wondering if it is going to come up, wonder if it's ever going to work, wonder if anything's going to ever sprout, wonder if anything's ever going to come out of this, well, then you can forget it. You plant a garden expecting a crop, right? You plant a garden expecting to have something to come out of your work. You take care of that seed. You take care of it. You protect it. You water it. You make sure it's got plenty of good sunshine, good fertilizer. And you wait because you know it's coming. You know the earth will do its thing with that seed. You see, the seed will lay on a table until it's put in the ground. That's a fact. But once you ever plant that seed, guess what happens? A miracle. It's a miracle. They don't even understand what happens. They just know the elements in the ground starts working on that seed. And then something begins to happen. Something comes alive inside that seed. This seed is not a dead thing. It's alive. It's got life in it. And something, it's like a little time clock kicks in. And something, I mean, they don't really quite understand it. They're still trying to figure out what is it. It's called life. The miracle of life is in that seed. The word of God has got life in itself. If you need a healing, you just need a seed of life planted in your spirit, man. You need to get a revelation word, which is a seed of God's revelation word of healing. Now, I started to say something a minute ago, and I got sidetracked. I'm going to just say it. God wants you healed 100% of the time. God wants you rich. God wants you wealthy. Let's put it that way. God wants you prosperous. Prosperity is never having lack. And it doesn't mean just money. It means provision. God doesn't want you depressed. God doesn't want you sad. God doesn't want you in grief. God doesn't want any of those things for his children. Remember last week we made a decree we're never going to feel sorry for ourselves again another day as long as we live. How y'all been doing with that? Well, Delise said she was too. She was having a.
I had a real trial just, you know, right after. And the next day I had to keep repenting, you know. I said, no.
We made a decree that we're never going to have another. Everybody said it. Decree, never have another day of self-pity. Never going to feel sorry for ourselves again as long as we live. Is that what we said? It's kind of like a drug. You know, I'm telling you, self-pity is kind of like a drug. You know, it's like telling the alcoholic. I tell all the alcoholics God sends me. Oh, my goodness. I got to write a book about all the alcoholics God's brought to me. But I say to them, first thing I say to them, I got to get this in them. They got to hear these words. You can never drink another drop again as long as you live. And they go, They go, they don't actually physically do that, but I can see it in the spirit. They're going, yep, you ain't like other people. Now, you know, other people can drink a little bit and not do what you do. But you take one drink, you're gone. You just gone past. You've done pushed the envelope too far here. You're an alcoholic, full blown. One drink and you're three sheets in the wind kind of person. So that kind of person can never drink again, or they're crazy. Everyone I'm seeing, like God brings to me, is like that. So that's the first thing I say to them. I say, you're an alcoholic. And I said, you can never drink another drop if you want to be free. And it's like they just about have a heart attack. Well, it's the same way with self-pity. It's the same way with all these things that we've been used to dealing with. You know, so there's a lot to understand. But look at this verse in Mark chapter 4. I know I don't have it written down here. Actually, this came to me right before. Maybe I did put it in here. Yes, I did. On the very last page. No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did.
Did I put it in there?
You didn't put it all in there.
Okay.
Or, yeah.
Okay. I did put Mark chapter 4. Okay. Verse 13. Okay. Verse 13. Mark 4, 13. Here's what he said. And he said unto them, know you not this parable? He just got through talking about this parable, and they were like scratching their heads, like, what is he talking about? The sower soweth. Starts talking about the sower. And he said, do you not know this parable? Like, you really, really need to know this parable. This is a real important parable, and I can't believe you don't get this parable. And then he says, how then will you know all parables? So what Jesus is really saying here is, if you get this parable, if you can get a revelation and understanding under your belt what he's saying about this parable, it will open up your life to all the parables in the Word. Because Jesus spoke in kind of parables, you know, it was hard sayings. It was things they couldn't really understand. He would give them comparisons of things. So here's what he says. Here's the parable. The sower soweth the word. The sower soweth the word. I'm a sower. And let me tell you, you all are too. Every single Christian is called to be a sower of his word. But you can't sow what you don't have. You can only sow what you got in here, in the belly, in your spirit. This is where your spirit. You can only sow what you got, okay? But thank God you got something to sow. So the sower sows the word. The word of God. He's talking about the word of God. I'm sowing the word of God today. Y'all are good ground. You're hearing some word, okay? And these by the wayside where the word is sown, and these that are by the wayside are where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Who comes immediately?
Satan.
So that means he's kind of standing by. He's not coming from China. Immediately means bam. Right there. Immediately. I mean, like we're talking, he's watching you and I. And he knows whether or not that word is being sown in your heart. And immediately he will come and do, this is the things he does. These are the things he does to everybody. Don't feel special because he does this to everybody. Everybody. So he's very, very, very on track watching to see who's going to hear the word of God. Because you know why? Do you ever think about it? Why is the devil so worried about you receiving a word from God in your spirit? Why is he so concerned about that? Because he knows that once you ever get a revelation of this parable, and you ever realize that the word of God is something that is sown in your spirit, and you begin to get in touch with the Holy Spirit, which is connected to Almighty God, who is the creator of everything, spirit, God is spirit. This word that you're going to receive in your spirit, man, connects you to the kingdom of God itself. So the kingdom of God has got to live in you, and the kingdom of God can only live in you based on the revelation of the word you have. Let me give you an example. You moved to Peru. They got a whole bunch of different language there. I went there, and I mean, nobody speaks English there. Hardly. I was just really, really uncomfortable there. I mean, as big time talker as I am, I couldn't find anybody to talk to me. I'm talking to cats, I'm talking to dogs, I'm talking to people, I'm doing sign language, I'm doing everything. But I was just so frustrated. I was there a month and I could not talk to anyone. And poor guy said, well, on the way home, he just come back from a mission trip in Argentina, and it's like I drove him crazy. And I talked to him the whole way home. 19-hour flight. You know, it was just pretty bad. Or no, it was a 9-hour flight. Yeah, 9-hour flight. So anyway, here is our connection to heaven based on our revelation of the Word. And it's got to get in your spirit. The Word has got to get in you because it's God getting in you. So when you have a revelation on healing, or you have a revelation on prosperity, or you have a revelation on how good God is and how wonderful, and He's your daddy and He's your father, or whatever it is, no matter what it is, God's a big God. He's a super God. I mean, He's a good father. The devil is out to steal the revelation of God's goodness. He's a bad God. You know He's a bad God. He ain't. It's a total. If the devil told you God is bad, I'll guarantee you God is good, because the devil just doesn't want you to know how good God is. So here's the Word being sown in your heart. And you've got the Word. So let's just get a Word. Just to start with a Word that says, by His stripes you were healed. And what you've really got is God. So immediately the devil comes along, immediately, I mean, bam, to take that Word away from you. He taketh away the Word that was sown in their hearts. Verse 16, and these are they likewise which were sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the Word immediately receive it with gladness, having no root in themselves and endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction and persecution arises for the Word's sake, immediately they are offended. Where does the affliction and the persecution come from? Satan again. He is the author of confusion. The Word of God says He is the author of all confusion. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So if there's confusion breaks out in your home, everybody, I'm telling you what, I'll never forget the time that years and years ago when I lived in Northeastern Kentucky, I was married to the craziest man in the whole world. Loaded sawed-off shotgun, double-barrel sawed-off shotgun. Meaner than anybody you could imagine. Turned so mean. I mean, he was nice until I married him. Went to church with me, Bible study, and then all of a sudden he turned into evil. Pure evil. I was terrified of him. And go visit my parents one day, and he's with me. And my sister, and you know, everything's going just fine, having a nice day, family get together. My sister just came in from Texas. Well, my family's all drinkers. And that's okay. I still love my family. I don't care what they do. I still love them. I don't judge people. But I'm up there, and my sister had a little too much to drink. And I was homeschooling my kids at the time, and she was just really rat me. And my ex-husband, I said, okay, it's time to get the kids and get out of here, because I don't want any fight. You know how it is when family dynamics, you know, you don't have no fight going on here. Some families have knocked down drag outs. No, our family wasn't like that, but this guy was. My family never fought physically, but they were mouthy. So I had to get the kids, get them in the van, and almost got them all in there. And here comes my sister out the door screaming and a cussing and just all over me. And he very politely gets out of the van, walks around, and grabs her by her silk shirt, rips it off her, and throws her like clear across the yard. And she spins like a top and lands and there was ice on the ground. It was cold. And she's out there screaming her head off. And, of course, you know, they want to all come down and get him. So that was major, major persecution came. I got persecuted over that. I didn't do anything, but I got persecuted because, you know, of course, my ex-husband, and my husband at the time. So persecution and affliction arose because of something he did. Now, who did that? The devil worked through him. The devil worked through my sister. I will edit this part of this message. So that you could just think of all the different times in your life that things just kind of been going, you know, so along, and all of a sudden here's persecution and affliction.
Yeah.
And it's the devil. I promise you, behind the scenes there is a devil involved. But the reason that all happens is for one purpose, to steal the Word of God. He doesn't want you and I to know who we really are in Christ and what Jesus has provided in the new birth, that you're now spirit and you have capacity to receive the Word of God on a very real, deep level powerful level. Because you become a major threat to the devil and to all that he's got plans to do on the earth.
You're swinging him, you swing back. Swing back.
Okay, so the next one is, okay, well now let's look at what he says. He's talking about stony ground, the ones at first the wayside, then the stony ground, and then he goes down to this one. These are they sown among thorns. Okay. See, there's three different types of hearts here he's talking about, three different types of people, and three different possibilities. Now, it's not just really talking about three different types of people, but he's watching to see what kind of person we are. Okay, he's always watching to see what kind of word you're receiving. Let me just put it this way. He doesn't know whether you're stony ground. The devil doesn't know whether you're wayside ground. He doesn't know if you're full of thorns and thistle. He doesn't know what kind of person you really are. So the only thing he can do is try the first one. First one is immediately he comes to take away the word. He'll come and say, that doesn't work. Then people are crazy or whatever he says. And then he'll listen. And if you believe it, then you've just lost the word you just heard. Mm-hmm. And so then immediately he knows, I'm off the hook with that one. Mm-hmm. Let's go to somebody else that's hearing the word of God. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about on a spiritual level because the word is spirit. And then he comes to the person that says, okay, the cares of this world. So he starts bringing... let's go back to persecution affliction. So here's persecution. So the person's on the, they're not wayside people. So let's see if they're stony ground people. So let's start bringing some persecution. Let's bring some trouble their way and see if they'll still believe the word. Still they keep it in their heart. And so say you just stand on the word and you start confessing the word no matter how many people come after you, like my family come after us that day. This has been over 35 years ago. And then, so the devil's going, well, she's not stony people. She's not a stony heart. Now he's getting really worried about me. I'm just using me for an example because I've been through all of this. And everybody does. Everybody goes through this. And so now the word is, you've really got some going on now. Now let's see if we can throw some cares. Let's get them busy with working. Let's get them busy with problems. And let's get them with cares of this world. Let's get them focused on this, this, and this. And start bringing people to them and get them all off track and time consuming. And let's just bring some money. Let's say, oh, you just can't live without money. You just can't, money, money, money. Everything's about money. And fear of not having any money. And so they get busy and they work and work and work. And that word's in their heart, right? But all of a sudden, it says that word will choke that word. And so it won't become fruitful. But if he doesn't see that works and this person's still being fruitful in the word, then he knows he's really got problems. Then he knows that this person must be, and I'm sure he's going into a panic attack, good ground. This is good ground person. This is a good ground person. And I'm in big trouble now. Because I can't talk him out of the word. I can't bring affliction that'll keep him from believing the word. I can't bring cares of this world that'll keep him from believing the word. I can't bring him afflictions and persecutions and nothing stopping this person. So that means, oh my God, they're good ground people. I can't keep them from coming to that crazy church where they preach the word on faith. They keep going. They keep driving 35 miles to get there. Now the devil's got a big problem with you and I. Because of the fruitfulness of it. Because, see, the word, I don't produce fruit. The word produces fruit. All I got to do is believe it. All I got to do is get it in here and speak it out of my mouth. That's what Jesus meant when he said in Mark 11, 23 and 24, have the faith of God, or have the kind of faith God has. You know, if we just be an imitator of God as dear children, like he said to be, and you begin to speak to your mountains, begin to talk to your situation. You got an affliction in your body, talk to it. Don't talk it out of your head, though. You got to talk it to it. You got to talk the word to it. Your spirit talking the word now. Because you got some word in you now. It's taking root now. Oh, my goodness. And it's really bad. I used to raise corn. And my dad, the little girl, that was our job to thin out the corn. Because you only want so many ears. And I can't remember now, about two or three stalks to a head. And you'd always have like more. So you go thin. And it's just the easiest thing in the world to thin out that corn when it's tiny little plants. But you ever try to pull up a corn stalk when it's fully grown? You can't pull it out of the ground. And that's what the devil's dealing with in some of us. Because we've allowed the word of God to take root in us. Because we've already been through the weathered storms and stood on the word and seen the word come forth. We've already spoken to mountains and seen them move. You know, I can look back and tell you a number of things. I got that by faith. My faith got me that. My faith paid that bill. My faith in that word is what got that situation taken care of. I didn't throw up my hands and go away. So I have been working the word in my heart for years. And after a while, you get to where you're really good at speaking the word to things. Because he said, by your words you're justified and by your words you're condemned. Life and death is in the power of your words. I believe the word of God. I just come into agreement with God. He said in Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be in agreement? This ain't religion, folks. This is walking and talking with the word of God, who is God. It's being filled with his spirit, being in agreement with God. I've seen mountains move in my life. I've laid hands on cars and seen them fixed. I've called things to come when they weren't even supposed to come. I've seen things happen because I believe the word. I've been healed so many times of things because I truly believe his word. Amen. He bore my griefs. He carried my sorrows. God laid all affliction on Jesus 2,000 years ago. He put away it all. He restored man back to the state of the garden. You know, it's like this. Jesus is your tree of life. Mm-hmm. There was two trees in that garden. After they ate of the fallen, after they fell and ate and disobeyed God and spiritual death came in, you wouldn't believe me, it was the mercies of God that drove them out of the garden because he did not want them putting their hand to that tree of life and being stuck in eternity like this. Because he had a plan to get man back to this original relationship. Now, it's not the same. It's not the same as it was. In fact, I believe it's more powerful than ever before. I believe that the body of Christ ever wakes up and finds out who they really, really are. And that we have heard Bill Johnson say that Jesus is coming back for a bride whose body is equal to her head. And Jesus is the head of the church. He's not going to come back for a body that's broken, sick, and weak, barely getting by. He's coming back for a glorious church. People being raised from the dead right now in Africa, India, all over the world. The American church better wake up. Wake up. Not about being a good person either. It's not about being good. It's about believing God. Now let's go back to these scriptures. I wrote all these down because I heard the Holy Spirit this morning, of the Lord. I heard the Lord say these things to me this morning. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Good news. It's been watered down to the point where it's just, you know, about Jesus in a manger. Mm-hmm. Yep. I mean, we're talking about Jesus. Jesus woke me up one night in the middle of the night, and he spoke this to me clear as day. He said, "I did not die for you that you could be rich. I died so you could be seated with me in heavenly places right now." And when he said that to my spirit 2 or 3 in the morning, I knew that he meant you got to have a whole new perspective of your way of life. I'm already there with him, seated with him in heavenly places right now. Do you see defeat in any of that? If you have that perspective, if you know who you are in Christ, when he said we're joint heirs with Christ, you've been given the mind of Christ. What do you do with those scriptures? Well, if you're smart, you'll take them and believe them and eat them and make them a part of your being. You'll say yes, amen to that. I've just come to the place where, Lord, here I am. I told him this week, I said, I have done Romans chapter 12, verse 1, God. Y'all ever done that? I just did it this week. I said, I did it. You know what Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says? Oh, you all know what Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says. We talk about it every single service. Romans 12, 1 says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And I told God, I said, I've done that. Here's my body, God. Here's my entire body. My mouth, my feet, my head. What do you, you know, what else can I do? Here I am. I've presented it. I'll go where you say to go. I'll do what you say to do. I'll be what you say to be. Tuesday, I got up really early. You know, I take Justino to work, and I was coming back. And the Holy Spirit, don't lay back down, because I want to so bad sometimes. Don't lay back down. He said, you're going to be going somewhere today. See, the Holy Spirit said he'd lead us and guide us, right? Jesus said, it's expedient that I go away. If I don't go away, the Holy Spirit cannot come in you, come back to you. I can't send him back to you. But when he comes, he will be in you. He will lead you and guide you, and he'll show you things to come. Well, he was just showing me something to come. That's what he said he would do. So I heard the Holy Spirit in here. I don't hear the Holy Spirit in my head. I hear the Holy Spirit in my spirit. You have to get that tuner tweaked. Anybody ever had a radio that you couldn't pick up the signal? Well, it's because there's some interference in it. You know, we've got a lot of interference from our spirits, from this part of us and this part of us. It just wants to talk louder than the Holy Spirit in our spirit. You're supposed to let this dominate the other two of you. Actually, the key is getting this part of your mind renewed. Now, Romans chapter 12, verse 2 comes into play. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you can prove what is that good and perfect acceptable will of God. I've proved some things. We have got to prove some things for ourselves. You know, there's just nothing like going through a trial or a problem in a situation and coming out with victory on the other end of that, saying, man, I proved that's true. Man, I got that under my belt. Can you imagine a child being born to a family that was afraid to let the child get down and learn how to walk and never let the child fall down until it learns to grow and develop? Ever see anybody do that to their kid? Won't let them, just afraid they're going to get hurt all the time, fearful? No, they're going to have some knocks and bangs. But once they learn, it's just like riding a bicycle. Once they learn how to ride that bike, they got it down. And that's the same thing with the things of God. You learn how to walk in the Spirit. And Romans chapter 8, he says, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Many as led of the Spirit of God are the sons of God. And there's so many scriptures on that line. But what I started to say is this. I have learned to prove that God's word is the truth. In fact, it's become to the point where, no, I'm going to prove that. Has anybody ever just got there where you just say, huh, I could be doing something else. If God's not real and God's not true and all this is just this hocus pocus, phony stuff, if this isn't real, you know, I could join a woman's club and have just as much going on. But no, I want the real deal. I want God in my life. I want to be able to lay hands on somebody and see them healed. And I do that. I've done that. Haven't you? Amen. That's what believers are supposed to do. He said these signs will follow them that believe. Believers are supposed to believe. But see, this is where we learn how to work the word. We learn how to get the word in us. That parable, chapter 4, is a very powerful thing. Because he says there in the last part of that, I don't know if you're still there or not, he says, verse 20, here's why the devil's so upset about it. Verse 20 says, and these are they which are sown in good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And so, you know, we've been taught that, oh, you know, I used to think there's something wrong with me because, man, I'm going through persecutions, I'm going through problems, I've been sick, I've been attacked with everything. Everything in the world. They called me Sister Job the first 2 years I became a Christian. I mean, everything in the country happened to me. Everything in the world, just about, you could imagine. You can't imagine. My kids were sick. All kinds of stuff. I don't know if I ever told you all about my son's hip being dislocated when he was a baby. God healed that. had pneumonia. I mean, I don't even want to go into all the things that happened to me. But I used to think, well, I must not be good ground because it doesn't say anything's going to happen to the good ground people. They just are good ground. I must not be good ground. No, you are good ground, honey. I was good ground, honey. And the devil was just signing how much good ground I was, whether I was 100-fold good ground, 60-fold good ground, or 30-fold good ground. Some folks ain't but 30-fold good ground, but that's better than being no ground at all for the kingdom of God. It's just time for the church to wake up. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And we need to learn how to prove the word of God is the truth. You don't have a word on this, honey, to get a word on it. Because and work the word. Don't just try to believe it in your head. You got to believe it from here. There's a scripture I brought up this morning. And it's found in James chapter 2. Just came to my mind. The Holy Spirit wants me to share this real quick. James chapter 2, on the second page. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do. Oh, I'm sorry. James 2. It goes along with that one, but James 2. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? Now, this is where we're thrown off track. Let me just set the record straight. We are so thrown off track on this next verse. This is where we get off track. Because he says, starts out talking about faith, right? Y'all know what faith is, right? Faith is substance, things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Okay. So he goes on and starts now talking about, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace and be you warmed and filled, but notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful unto the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works, show me thy work. Without thy faith, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Now, what we get thrown off track about is this giving something to somebody. And so we're running around thinking, well, faith is all about being a good person and giving to people and doing good works. And the works he's talking about is believing the word and producing something by your faith. That's a work of faith. I just lost somebody. When I had Bell's palsy, the day that the devil attacked me with Bell's palsy, in 1993, I'm working in a dental office, and all of a sudden, out of the blue, early morning, I'm just busy, and, you know, in a dental office, it's the wildest place, especially on a Friday, and you got a full schedule, and I'm running around trying to make sure everything's okay, and I'm doing I did the whole front office, and had everybody's schedule ready, and had everything set up, and all of a sudden, my face started feeling weird. And I'm so busy, I don't have time to look in the mirror. You know, put your makeup on one time in the morning, and you don't even look in the mirror anymore. That's how busy you are in a dental office. And so I was like, all of a sudden, the doctor come up to me, and he looked at me like horrified, what's wrong with your face? And I said, oh, what's wrong with my face? And I look like, my eyeball is frozen, and my mouth is twisted over here like this, and I felt a little strange. And then I went and looked in the mirror, and I go, oh, man, what is going on? And he says, you've got Bell's palsy. You're going to the doctor right now. I said, by the stripes of Jesus, Dr. Genasi, I was healed. And so I never got off of that, because a minute after I realized what was happening, I had a vision. It was like a screen just come up in front of me. And the word of God said this to me. My God shall deliver me from every evil work and shall preserve me to his heavenly kingdom, to whose glory forever and ever. Now, what do you think I did with that? I had a supernatural word from the Holy Spirit. I don't remember reading that scripture. I didn't even know where it was found. But I read it out loud. You know what my faith did? You know what my spirit did? You know what my spirit did? My spirit, the invisible hand of my spirit, reached out and grabbed that word. And I wasn't going to let it go. And I looked horrible. I looked like Quasimodo. I was like instantly from, you know, 30-some-year-old young girl working in a dental office, happy, yeah. Now I look like something twisted and deformed and awful. My eyeball was, anybody ever seen people with Bell's palsy? It was horrible. And not only that, I'm the front face of this office. And I'm just, you know, how are y'all today? And I was like, well, Bell's mouth was over here. And I'm and they said, "Oh, you had dental work today?" Oh no. No, I didn't have any dental work. So they really I took hold of that word with my spirit. And I was not going to let it go. I wasn't going to let it go. Because I recognized that that word is what's going to bring me healing. Because your body was created with this word. The word is God. God created this body. If God spoke, let us make man in our likeness and our image. I'm definitely one in likeness and image of God. You know, the word created this body. I'm God's creation. He didn't bring this to me, and I knew that he will deliver. I looked at Dr. Janeth. I said, "Let me tell you something. This is not from God. I'm smart enough to know God ain't. God's a good God. I got that down." I said, "This." I said, "My God." I just quoted it right back to him. I said, "My God shall deliver me from every evil work." I said, "This is an evil work." Of course, I'm like this looking at him. "This is an evil work, and my God shall deliver me from this evil work." I said, "This didn't come from God, and it's got to go in the name of Jesus. It's got to go." And, of course, he didn't believe me. He thought I was crazy. But I knew in my heart it had to go. It was like it was already gone. Faith says whatever the word says is what you say. You believe it. And so I believed it. I stood on that word because I knew if I did not, it would take I never once said I have Bell's palsy. Never once, because I didn't have it. If I'd ever said I have something, then buddy, you ever say you have something, you got it. You've done open doors for tentacles to latch onto you. Because your words are very powerful. You will believe what you say over anybody else. So yeah, all I said was word. I spoke word to it, and I said, "Nope, by the stripes of Jesus I was healed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." All the scriptures I could come up with, I started saying so. And I dominated the situation. I dominated my flesh with my spirit is what I did. I dominated the situation with my spirit man with the word. Because that's what you're supposed to do. Does that sound like a fairy tale? I'm telling you, this is very, very spiritual. This is not natural. Now let's go back. Okay, so and y'all know the story. Some of you know. I was healed in 12 days. He made me go to the doctor. Yes, I did. I went to the doctor. The doctor's first words out of the doctor's mouth. Isn't it amazing how doctors are? "You've got the worst case I've ever seen." That's what he says to me. And I said, "Well, how long does it last? How long does it last?" I had to take my eyeballs shut and everything. It was crazy. He said, "Oh, you could have this for the rest of your life." And I'm thinking, now I really am standing on the word of God. There is no way. No. My God, I got right back. "My God shall deliver." I said it. I bet I said it 1,000 times. "My God shall deliver me from every war." I went around my kitchen. "My God shall deliver." I took 4 days of work. All I did was my family. I drove them all crazy. I just drove them all. My kids, everybody, my husband. "By the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. Praise you, Jesus, I'm healed." I started worshiping God in my healing. And I just carried around water and said that all day long, every day. And within 12 days from the time it started, it was instantly gone. So I can say, my faith got me that. Mm-hmm. I can look at that situation now and look back at that. My faith, no. So what do you do with something like that? It becomes a part of who you are. I can't deny that God did that. Yes, God did that, but he had to have me cooperate with him. He's not walking around with a wand popping people. "Well, you're good enough today. Let's just heal you." Poof. No, your healing is going to come through your human spirit. All healing comes through the human spirit. If God's going to get a healing over to you, you're going to have to believe for it. And if you're tired of the devil beating you up, tell him to get out of your life. Say, "Satan, you're bound. I command you to go in the name of Jesus." And do not believe. You cannot fight the devil. You can't put on boxing gloves and fight the devil. He will zap you to the moon. He's a very powerful spirit. But I'm going to tell you what. He can't do a thing with the word in your mouth if you believe it. Because that's exactly how Jesus defeated him. He said, "It is written." See, Jesus had an "it is written" at every turn. And you know the very first temptation the devil brought to Jesus? Did you ever think about it? "If you be the son." See, if you don't know you're a son of God, you kind of are handicapped right here. Right out of the gate, you know. Because he's going to come with you and say, "Are you really a child of God? Are you really born again? Are you really a son?" See, sonship is huge. Most people see themselves as an old worm, unworthy. They're a servant. They don't feel like sons. But God made you a son. God brought you into the house. He brought you in, put the robe on you. He killed the fatted calf, and now you're in Father's house. We're children of God. And that means everything God owns, you own. You're privileged. Did I deserve that? Do I do anything to deserve that? No, but the Jesus that died on that cross, he provided that. That's what his death, burial, and resurrection was all about, to bring us into the Father's house. We just receive it by faith. Everything, you're saved by grace through faith, not of yourself. It is a gift of God. God gave you a gift of salvation. That means you're his child. Salvation belongs to you. It's given to you freely. You just got to come and believe it and receive it. And you mean I don't have to work for it and make myself feel special? No. God, if you look at his word, you cannot dispute what I'm saying if you look at this word. Look what he says here. I'm going to go through these and I'm getting ready to close. I could preach another 2 or 3 hours on this. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, the very first scripture here. I'm not ashamed. See, when you go through some things, you're just not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of this gospel. It's the power of God. That's how I got healed. Bell's palsy. That's how I got, oh my goodness, everything. All kinds of things have happened in my life through faith and through the gospel. It's unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. It says it in Hebrews. Oh my goodness, I found it here in Hebrews. Hebrews 10:38. Now the just shall live by faith. Not by works, by faith. Not by works, by faith. You see, your faith produces works. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. That's what God says. Habakkuk 2:4 says, behold, his soul which is lifted up in him is not right in him. But the just shall live by his faith. Now, when I was talking a minute ago about James, how that James, we get off track and he starts talking about, you know, if any of you, let's just look at this again. It's the next page, James 2:14. If it's a mandate, think about it. God has made it, this is not an option. This is not an option for a child of the living God. This isn't religion. This is God's call on your life to fulfill whatever his destiny is for you. It's not about being a good person. It's not about it being religious. It's not about a creed and a code or joining a church. It's about walking with God and living for God on a day-to-day basis. Walking in victory over everything. Sure, we're going to face things in life, but thanks be unto God who always causes me to triumph in Christ Jesus. I mean, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Wouldn't you rather be a life like this than just trying to struggle through all the time? See, it's the fact that most people will go to a lot of Christians will go to heaven when they die, but they've lived like hell while they're here. They've never enjoyed heaven at all while they're here. And God intended for us to walk in heaven here because Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is within you. We walk in the kingdom now through the revelation of his word. The degree of your word level determines how much victory you walk into. Isn't this awesome? This doesn't happen overnight. This has been something I've pressed into and developed over years of seeking God. But all you got to start is with a seed. You got a seed planted in your heart. Don't let the devil steal it. Develop it, grow it, plant more seed. I got some seed now working. I'm working some seed in my spirit concerning deliverance like you wouldn't believe right now. No more depression. I never have another down day. I haven't had a down day in so many years. Don't have to have a pill for nothing. It's wonderful. That's a wonderful way to live. Not that I'm bragging. I'm just telling you the word works if you work the word. But this is the thing I want to share. James 2. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? Ever walk around and see people just think, oh, I believe that. Yeah, I can quote that, and they quote the word. I'm quoting word. I'm quoting word. Quote word. I've done it. Quote word. Well, are you bearing any fruit with that word? Is there any works coming forth in that word? Any fruit? See, he's giving you a comparison. If you have a brother or sister and you're naked, and you just say, be peaceful, have a full life, be happy, and you don't give them the things they need, then what was that all about? It was just just empty words, wasn't it? So what he's saying is, if you say that by the stripes of Jesus I'm healed, and you just say it all day long, but there's got to be some works to that. In other words, there's got to be some proof that you believe that. It's got to come forth. Well, you're not believing it. If you're not producing that, you're not believing it. You're just saying it. That's the works. Let me prove it to you what I'm talking about. Look at St. John chapter 14. Write the verse right above that. Verily, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. What kind of works did Jesus do? Jesus walks over to the widow Nain's briar coffin. Her only son is dead. There's a mourning procession. I say he did a work. Took the lad's hand, said, rise. Brought the child back, gave his son back to the mother. That's a work of God. And how did Jesus do that? He did it by faith, just like you're going to have to. And he healed. Look at this verse here. Go back to the first page. Matthew 9:20. Behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. She had to say it. She had to believe that. But Jesus turned about him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. He wasn't even aware that someone touched him until he felt the virtue go out of him, the power of the anointing. And the woman was made whole from that hour. But what did he say? Your faith made you whole. See, there was a work produced. The work of God produces things. Look at Matthew 9:27, then the next page. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he came into the house, the blind man came to him, and Jesus said unto him, believe you that I'm able to do this? They said unto him, yea, Lord. He touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were open. I learned a long time ago, hear this. This is so important to hear. Stop trying to talk God into doing something that he's already promised in his word. Because you're not going to get answered. It's time to stop begging and trying to con God into something. And manipulate God, because he's already promised in his word. If you can find it, you can just, all you got to do is work your faith. Put it in your mouth, believe it in your heart, and speak to that situation. We still want God to come down and add more to what he's already done. He's not going to do it. He's already done everything he can do for every need of man. There is no more sin problem. There is no more sin problem. There is no more sickness problem. He dealt with it all at the cross 2,000 years ago. Now, there's a sinner problem getting people to come to Jesus and receive what he's done, but it's already been finished. The work is finished. When he said it's finished, he meant it's finished. And you can't get in the Word and not see that. It's all over the Word. It's like we still just want an excuse for why we're not healed, why we're not delivered, why all these problems are happening, because... well, God just doesn't love me, or God doesn't care about me. That's a lie. It's a lie. It's really about us getting that word in our spirit and learning how to operate the word and walk in it, doing the works that Jesus said. And I didn't put this in here, but I want to take you to one more place. I know I'm going over, but go with me to St. John chapter 14 again, because I want to end with this. This is a very important part of this message. Well, I got one more verse I got to give you because the Holy Spirit has another one more verse. 14, St. John 14. Are you guys getting something this morning? Mm,
amen.
Are you receiving? I know I'm a little long-winded. Look at John 14, what Jesus said. Started with verse 9. Jesus said unto him, talking about Philip asking, well, show us the Father. Please show us God. Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast you not known me, Father, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how saith then, show us the Father? John 14:9. You see, Jesus came, God came in human form, God incarnate. But he left his deity, he left his glory, and he became a mere man. And he operated in the same power of God, the anointing of God, the Holy Spirit that we are supposed to. He said in one place, and I wrote it in here, he says, as my Father sent me, so I send you. And he gave us the Holy Spirit to do the work of God. So he says, this is what he says. He that seen me hath seen the Father, and how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Verse 10, believest thou not that I'm in the Father, and the Father in me? I'm sure he's okay. Believest thou not that I'm in the Father, and the Father in me? How was Jesus in the Father, and how was the Father in Jesus? The same way, the same exact way that you are in Jesus, and Jesus is in you, through your human spirit. You've been given the Holy Spirit, and that's how God is in you, and you're in God, through your human spirit. And then look what happens, he says. Believest thou not that I'm in the Father and the Father in me? The words. Does he talk about words again? He's talking about words again, isn't he? The words that I speak unto you. I speak not of myself. Very intelligent Jesus. He only spoke what God told him to speak, because he knew the power in God's words. He knew it was the words that were going to do the works. When he spoke to the blind, or he spoke to the sick, or he spoke to whatever he spoke to, it happened, because he believed the Father's words working in him. And he was a representative of the Father to show people the Father. And so he says, the words that I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. I tell you what, if you ever see it, it's going to be like a major explosion on the inside of your spirit, like it was for me. Whoa. Oh, God. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about the word that I believe. And it's the word that does the works, because it's God. Not about being a good person. I mean, I'm telling you what, some of the greatest miracles I've seen in my life was when mine was the meanest, worst day ever. But I've learned to do a couple of things that I don't think a lot of people have really learned. I've learned to forgive myself very quickly. Because, you know, it says in the Word that you love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your soul, and your neighbor as yourself. Well, I didn't love myself at all. I hated myself because I was a really bad person. It took me years to get understanding that there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. I am free from the law of sin and death. And that's in Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. Read it. Meditate on it. Think about that. I'm free from the law of sin and death. You know, there's going to be enough people that's going to come along and tell you you're no good, you're no count, you failed, the accuser of the brethren is very real on this planet. Yeah. Don't be letting him accuse yourself. A lot of people are beating up themselves. Okay, the verse I heard the Holy Spirit say to me this morning, the Lord. This is what I heard the Lord this morning. And it's in Hebrews chapter 12. It's kind of midway down below on the first page. Hebrews chapter 12 says, verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, I can look to you. Thank you, Lord, that I can come boldly to the throne of grace. Thank you, Lord, I can come boldly to you. There's an open invitation. He said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Y'all notice I highlighted faith. You can't get away from faith in the Word. Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. See, he's there ever to make. We have a man representing us in heaven. We have an advocate. He's your lawyer. He's given you power of attorney by giving his name. Isn't it wonderful So not to, how, what a shame to go to heaven one day and find out we had all these benefits and privileges and never use them. Never find out who we were. Never found out we're sons of children of God. When I was in Daddy's house, I could get anything I wanted out of the refrigerator and in my house too. We're not orphans anymore. Thank you, Father. We're looking to you, Lord. You're the one who began the work in us. You'll complete it. You're the author and the finisher. Thank you, Lord, that you began a good work in us, and you will perform it to the day of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you're working a major work with the gifts of the Spirit. You've given the fivefold ministry gifts to the body. You've given the spiritual gifts, the nine gifts of the Spirit. It's all for the edifying of the body. It's all till we all come to a perfect man, to the unity of the body. Thank you, Father. We thank you, God. We release that word today. And we seal it. I seal this word. It will not return void. And I say, Satan, you can't steal it from their hearts. This is their good ground. And they're going to prove their good ground. In Jesus' name. Amen.